1 John 2, verse 28 through 3, verse 3. These are God's words. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The apostle here is urging his readers to abide in Christ and behold what sort of love God has given to us, bestowed upon us. And these are the things that the Holy Spirit does. We've just heard, or in which the Holy Spirit sustains us. We've just heard in verse 27 that the anointing which we have received from Christ, the Spirit, is the anointing that teaches us concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And he says, just as it, referring to the anointing or the Spirit, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And then immediately he says, and now, little children, abide in him. Abide in him by dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Abide in him by listening to what the Scripture says and laying hold of what the Scripture tells you about in your heart. And especially that your heart would lay hold of the Lord Jesus himself. That you would depend upon him, that you would rest in him, that you would make your home. And so we abide in him because the Spirit causes us to do so. Even the same Spirit is carrying the apostle along as he writes this and he gives the command. We abide in him because this is how he prevents our being ashamed at his coming. Now, little children, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Well, of course, when he appears, those for whom he died, those who are joined to him, those whom he loves and whom he has made to love him, when he appears, they will have confidence at his appearing. This is exactly the opposite of what the worldlings do, who cry out for mountains to fall upon them and things like that. Is the opposite of confidence. But he has saved us so that we would not be ashamed when he appears, when he comes. And this is the means by which abiding in him is the means by which we are not ashamed at his coming. So we abide in him because that's what the Spirit sustains us in and teaches us to do. We abide in him because this is how he keeps us from being ashamed at his coming. And we abide in him because we know this is how we got our start, and so this is how we will make our finish. You see that in verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, or better, since you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who works righteousness, and there's another Greek word for practice, this one is more the word work, everyone who works righteousness is born of him, or from out of him. And so, if you have begun in Christ, and you are crucified with him, it is no longer you who live, but he lives in you, the life that you now live. You live by faith in him who loved you and gave himself for you. Then continue. If you have been born from out of him, then surely you will continue. How can the one who is born from Christ lose that birth? Or as he's going to say a few verses from now in verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his, that is God's, seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Well, surely your new nature in Christ will win out over against that which remains from your former nature. It's not even your nature anymore. And your new nature, in which you work righteousness, in which you practice righteousness, to, if we translate it like our version says here, your new nature will be all that remains in the last day. And so we abide in him because he is the one who, from out of whom we have received our new birth. And he is the one then from whom we will have the holiness in which he and we both appear in the last day. So that's the first big command, is to abide. The second big command is to behold. Behold is a command. It's imperative. Behold, not just that the Father has loved us, or the love of the Father, but that we would consider, think about, what sort of love the Father has given us. And bestowed is a good word. It's translating a word that means giving as a gift. But what sort of love is it? First of all, it's divine love. It's love that is an expression of that which is between the Father and the Son from all eternity. And so it's divine love, it's triune love. Secondly, it is fatherly love. That just as the Father has loved the Son from all eternity, so now he has loved us with the fatherly love that he has for the Son. And therefore, it's not just divine love and father love, but it's adopting love. It's love that has brought us into a new sonship that corresponds to and participates in a unity, a union with the Lord Jesus. So he's the only begotten Son, but we are all adopted children. So it's divine love, it's fatherly love, it's adopting love, and we are to consider what sort of love, we're to look at, behold, gaze upon what sort of love with the Father has loved us with. Whenever we call him Father, like the Spirit trains to do, whenever the Spirit pours out his love in our hearts, just as the Spirit is the one who makes us to abide in Christ, like we heard in verse 27, so also the Spirit is the one who makes us to behold what sort of love God has loved us with. This is what Romans 5 said, you remember, that his love is poured out in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And so we are to behold his love. And one of the things that makes us behold that love is when the world does not acknowledge us or understand us. This helps us when we are so distinct from the world, or if we fail to be distinct from the world, it should send us flying back to God in repentance and pleading. But when we are distinct from the world, that it doesn't acknowledge us, doesn't understand us, despises us, we say, well, this is why. Because I have been called a child of God. And since I'm called a child of God, the world does not know me because it did not know him. That's me coming into the family resemblance of my adopted status. That's you coming into the family resemblance of your adopted status. And so not only do we have the status of children, we are called the children of God, verse 1. That is the core of our identity. Our identity is now bound up in his. Beloved, now we are children of God. This is one of the things that's so bad about when people use worldly categories that make identity with sin. When they use those worldly categories of believers, like people say, gay Christian or something like that. No, your identity is over against your sin. It's one that the world doesn't even recognize. And so don't be surprised that the world doesn't understand. Our identity is as God's children. So he says, beloved, now we are God's children. And this word revealed that is repeated twice here in verse 2, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, it is the same word as appears way up in verse 28. And it may be helpful when to translate it that way throughout. So, it has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like unto him, for we shall see him as he is. And so there are these appearances. We have the status of children, we have the identity of children, but we have not yet come fully into two aspects of our adoption. What we will appear like when he appears has not yet appeared. What we will be when he appears has not yet appeared. But there's nothing you can do to work on appearing glorious. All of the trips to the gym are not working on your resurrection body. But there is part of what we shall be when he appears that we can work on. And that is where verse 3 takes us. When he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that is talking body and soul, but it's that soul part that verse 3 capitalizes upon. It says, everyone who has this hope. And what's implied is everyone who has him, who is born of him, and will not be ashamed at the last day, and has his spirit, making us to abide in him, pouring out his love in our hearts. Everyone who has this hope. And that describes something we already have. You know, the verb there is a verb that means to possess, and it's something that is in the present tense. You have the hope that you will be like him in the last day, body and soul. Not wishful thinking. Remember in the New Testament, the word hope is a future certainty, a certainty of something that is future. And so every believer has this hope. And so every believer, because we have this certainty, we do, each one does this. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So that Jesus' purity is the standard for how we purify ourselves. We purify ourselves according to that standard because Jesus' purity is the outcome of our purifying ourselves. We will be pure as he is pure. So since we will be glorious like he is in body, since we will be glorious like he is in soul, and since you can't make your body glorious, but you are given by the Spirit to abide in him now, and abiding in him does produce increasing spiritual likeness to him, increasing purity. And so, my dear children, or little children, as the apostle says also, abide in Christ. Have your life be a dwelling in him, resting upon him, walking with him, drawing life from him. Abide in him. And behold what manner, behold what sort of love the Father has shown unto you. Divine love, fatherly love, adopting love, both by the work of the Spirit. It is the Spirit who makes you abide in the Son. It is the Spirit who shows you and makes you to know the love of the Father. And so there's a marvelous Trinitarian character to living the Christian life as the Apostle teaches us to do so here. The Lord grant that we may. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given unto us to be adopted by you, to be born from out of the Son, to be indwelt by your Spirit. We pray that your Spirit would indeed make us to abide in Christ, and that he would pour out your love in our hearts, and make us to behold, to consider your love as we abide in Christ, and that by these two things, you, our triune God, would sustain us and carry us in purifying ourselves as Jesus is pure. We do want the joy and the wonder of beholding your love and abiding in Christ. Give it to us, we ask in his name. Amen.